Welcome to this special live edition of From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. Today's show is a live broadcast, and Bishop Campbell will be taking your questions by phone at 614-459-4820. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
Good afternoon. This is Bishop Campbell, and thank you for joining me for this new edition of From the Chair. I suspect that I should begin by announcing something that probably all of you already know about. Last week, the Holy Father announced that there will be a new bishop in Columbus, and he also accepted my retirement after 14 years here. As you know, the church law requires every bishop who has completed his 75th year to submit a resignation to the Holy Father, and as canon law says, for his consideration. Well, he considered it, and last Thursday he made the announcement. At the same time that he announced my coming retirement and also a new bishop, he appointed me apostolic administrator of the parish, which means that over the next 2 months before Bishop Brennan is installed as bishop, I will still bear the responsibility for the diocese, so that it'll be another 2 months before my retirement officially begins. It's also an opportunity for me to tell you that as I continue with this radio programming and my meditations, I am probably going to have to think of a new title for the show. It is entitled From the Chair, which is, of course, a reference to the chair in the cathedral upon which the bishop sits. And after the 29th of March, I will no longer be sitting in that chair. So we're going to probably organize a new title. One that was suggested to me is From the Couch, but that seemed entirely too leisurely. But I hope to be with you in the future, and especially in the near future, because I will be with you at least in March. But today, I should like to begin with a little meditation on the nature of vocation. Later, you'll be hearing from some fifth graders from the School of St. Agatha answering a question I put to them: how do you know what God wants you to do or to be? And their answers are really very interesting. But what I was really getting at is, how do you know your vocation? In fact, all of life is a vocation, a calling. And as I think of the way in which God speaks to us and calls us, I realize that there are actually three vocations that are addressed to every single human person. The first vocation is to life itself. That is, we are called out of nothing into being. And that calling and that gift of life is also a call to respect it, to steward it. And every single human person, having received that vocation to life, is called by God to respect it, to nourish it, enhance it, allow it to grow and bear fruit. The second vocation is the vocation that is given to all, but more specifically to every baptized Christian, and that is the vocation to holiness, the vocation that calls us to imitate the God who created us, especially as we see that that image in his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the perfect icon of his Heavenly Father. And that call to holiness is a universal call for all the baptized. The third vocation is to a specific way by which we actually live out the vocation to holiness. In marriage, in religious life, in ordination, and in fact in many other ways, to hear a call from God by perhaps understanding a particular talent that we have, that we can offer to the cause of Jesus Christ, a particular set of circumstances we find ourselves in which we alone can express who we are as Christians. All of our existence is a vocation, and that requires a deepening of our listening abilities and a realization that 90% of what God has called us to be and to do, we actually already know, or we can easily discover it. It is found in the words of sacred scripture, in the tradition and life of the church, in the lives of the saints. And as we pursue that vocation to holiness, the 10% of God's will for us is going to be revealed for us particularly. And every one of us has a particular call from God. In living out the life to which all Christians are called, we will begin to understand and grasp that particular vocation of ours and be able to embrace it with a joy and a generosity. For in some ways, what God has called us to do may never be done unless we accept it. And in accepting that, how wonderfully we give glory to God and service to our neighbor. So I'm here again with our host, David Martin. I think that it may be time to answer whatever questions may come our way.
Thank you, Bishop. And we remind our callers, if you'd like to reach Bishop Campbell with your questions about living the Catholic faith, you can call us now at 614-459-4820. Before we begin, Bishop, I did want to ask you about, just briefly, about Bishop Brennan. Yeah. And I'm sure many of our listeners would be interested if you would even just give us a thumbnail of your encounter with Bishop Brennan. And he's from New York, I understand.
Yes.
You're from New York, actually, originally.
I'm from the state of New York. Not particularly the city. New York is a fairly large place and very populous. And I actually grew up in upstate New York in an area of the state known as the Finger Lakes. Which is a beautiful area. In fact, my father's family had been in the area since 1790. They came up right after the American Revolution.
Oh, my.
Of course, I remember it very well. I lived there for 22 years until I came to Columbus for my graduate school education. But, of course, when you live in that part of New York, you always refer to downstate as simply the city.
The city.
That was New York City. And that has a particular culture as well. And I understand that Bishop Brennan actually grew up in the Bronx, although up to now he was an auxiliary bishop of the Diocese of Rockville Center, which comprises two-thirds of Long Island. So in a sense, it's kind of a suburb of New York City proper. So we had a couple of days, you know, to talk. They were busy ones because there was a press conference preparing for the announcement and all. And it was interesting to talk with him.
Did you compare New York notes at all, or is that like upstate and the city don't really have so much?
Well, there are some differences between them, and I'll leave it at that. generally having to do with baseball.
Oh.
Yes, right.
Well, in seriousness, though, the city of New York has several different dioceses. Is that right?
Actually, the area of the city is composed of the Archdiocese of New York, the Diocese of Brooklyn, and the Diocese of Rockville Center.
And he is of the latter, is that right?
Well, he was an auxiliary bishop there.
In
yes.
Diocese of Rockville Center.
Right.
I see.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Just want to get that background
okay.
so people hear it first on St. Gabriel Radio.
Very good.
Well, with that, we do have a call from Clara. She's a missionary servant of the Word from St. Thomas the Apostle Parish.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You have a question, sister.
Yes, Father. Yes, Bishop, I do have a question.
Okay.
My question was, because you are ordained by God, what has been your favorite scripture in helping you discern God's will for in your life?
Oh, well, thank you, sister. There are many parts of sacred scripture that I particularly grew to love. And some of it has to do with the call of the apostles. And a word that was used very frequently by St. Mark, the word immediately. And it seemed every time Jesus did call someone, St. Mark tells us, well, immediately they followed. Well, I've tried to do that in my own life, but sometimes you hesitate, you delay, but God is continuing to call, as we see it in the life of the apostles. So there are many parts of the New Testament that I particularly loved that have helped me over the years. Okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you, Bishop.
Okay.
Thank you, Sister Clara. Bishop Angela from St. Mary's in Delaware has a question.
Okay. Angela, hello.
Hi, Bishop. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Thank you.
Well, great. I have a question, and I hope that I use all the appropriate terminology so you can understand my question. It's regarding a Eucharistic prayer during the intercessions. And it is the part where the priest says, remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection.
Right.
Who is the brothers and sisters that we're referring to in that? Because the rest of it is, and all who have died in your mercy. So who is it that has fallen asleep, and what does that mean, the falling asleep part of it?
Well, it's actually that they had died a natural death. But in sacred scripture, especially I think of the Gospels, the letters of Paul, the term falling asleep was used for a natural death in a way of expressing a belief in the resurrection. That natural death is not the end of the story. It is a kind of falling asleep as occurred to Lazarus. And it's a falling asleep as we await for the general resurrection of the body on the last day when our Lord appears in his glory. So the prayer is actually a request that all of those who have died, even, of course, particularly those we don't know, can't place a name to, will be remembered and will become part of the great power of the sacrifice of the Mass, as they lie in that sleep of death, waiting for the voice of our Lord to call them to new and eternal life. So that is what I think the prayer is suggesting and in calling us to do.
Well, great. Thank you so much. That has always been something that I ponder every time I go to Mass, and I asked a couple other priests, and they really weren't able to explain it. So.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Oh, well, you're most welcome. God bless.
Thank you, Angela.
Okay, you too. Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bishop Angela's question sparks a related question. We pray to the saints for their intercession. what is the church's teaching more broadly on those who've died and are now in heaven and their ability to hear us or to have communion with us or to have a sense of what we are doing? Does the church have any formal position on that?
Well, if they are saints with God now, they continue to pray for our good, which is part of their prayer of glorification of God. And it is through their lives that the grace of God will flow and continue to flow on us. They obviously have a very deep concern that the living become part of their existence. But they do have a concern for us. But, you know, they're not kind of God spies and looking after us, listening to us, wondering what we're doing, and then reporting back to God. But the life in heaven is a marvelous, continuing, and beautiful liturgy of worship of God, of a sense of communion, of all those who are disciples of Christ, who are faithful to him, and who rejoice in that life of prayer and the life of continuing exaltation in the glory of God. And that inevitably means inviting all the living.
That makes sense. Kind of look forward to that.
Oh, yes. I do too.
Yeah.
And it's going to be different than retirement.
Yeah. Okay. But more on that later. Bishop Marie from Our Lady of Perpetual Help has joined the show. Marie, welcome to From the Chair.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bishop, I'm wondering if you have a particular devotion to recommend or a saint to invoke for young people who are beginning to explore religious life or discerning not just the priesthood, but maybe even young women discerning
right.
religious life. Or even laity in a particular devotion to a religious life. I know that parishes have particular groups that they can go to, but I didn't know if you have a particular soft spot in your heart for a saint or a devotion that you could recommend.
Well, there are a number of saints who have a particular role to play in responding to vocations. But, you know, I think the first one you want to ask about is St. Joseph. He was called to a vocation that at first confused him mightily. But when the meaning of the vocation was revealed to him through an angel, he responded immediately. But you may notice that in all of sacred scripture, there is not one word recorded that Joseph ever spoke. And the people in the Middle Ages used to refer to Joseph as tacuit et facit. He was silent and he did it.
Wow.
And here is an example of one who could hear. And we are told in the gospel that Joseph was a just man. And what I think that means is he wanted always to do the will of God. He was going to be loyal to what God had called him to be, that he could read in Scripture. And he was ready. He could hear, and he responded immediately without speaking. Even Mary asked questions of the angel. Joseph did not. He just got up and did it. And he's a wonderful example of vocation. And I think he helps us to listen as we ought in our
yes.
heart. Yeah. There are others like St. Augustine who took a long time to answer that call. But he always wanted to know what was true, even though he found it difficult to embracing the fullness of it. And eventually he simply gave in. And the moment of his final conversion occurred in a liturgy that he attended in the cathedral in Milan that was presided over by St. Ambrose. He always admired St. Ambrose's preaching, but what touched him to the depths of his heart was hearing the congregation chant the Psalms with such a profound faith and commitment. And he said, I must be part of this.
So, beautiful.
Okay.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Okay. God bless.
So God bless you too. Thank you so much. Okay.
That was an actual precursor to Augustine's conversion, even to Christianity,
well,
before his vocation.
Well, no, his conversion and his vocation were simultaneous.
Oh.
He was moving along that path, and sometimes the path got lost, and he had to come back and find it. I also think of his mother, Monica, who constantly was praying for him, trying to lead him, keep on that path. I remember when I was a child, we often heard a reference to the tears of Monica shed for her wayward son. And my mother would often quote that if we were in a little trouble or we had done something that was somewhat disastrous, she would say, ah, the tears of Monica.
Thank you. Okay. Again, if you have a question for Bishop Campbell, you can reach us at 614-459-4820 right here on From the Chair at St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Chris from St. Mary in Delaware has a question for you, Bishop.
Okay. Hello, Chris.
Bishop Campbell, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, I feel like I've been hearing God for the last about month telling me to do what I feel is talk to those in my family who've either left the church or just not participating.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been neglecting that. But you appointed Father Sylvester to St. Mary's a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And it's funny because I've got, three young kids, and it's been really hard to hear, the homilies and that. I'm in the back of Mass with the kids screaming. But the thing that stood out the last two weekends is Father Sylvester said, I challenge you, I want you to bring your parents, your siblings, anybody in your family back to church. And it was just clear as day. I got hit in the head by the Lord, said, this is you. You need to do it.
Right.
So when I got home Sunday after Mass, I confronted this person and said, Father Sylvester said, you have to come back to Mass. And come to find out, this person who's been a Catholic for over 50 years no longer believes that the Catholic Church is the Church of Christ. She thinks it's a cult. And It just, all this different thing just came out. And I'm just in disbelief and shock. I didn't know how to react.
Right. Well,
so my question to you is, how do we hear that call from God? I know in my heart I'm a tool for this person to be brought back into the fold. I think they're like a lost sheep.
Right.
And I really know the Lord is calling me, which gives me hope because I feel that, through prayer and the Lord, they could come back.
Right.
So I'm blessed to hear your response and how I can go forward from here.
Okay. Well, first of all, you've already heard the vocation. But the second part of that vocation is how, in fact, to live it out. I think we have to keep in mind that Jesus Christ never promised us easy. He did promise us his constant truth and love. So I think part of your acceptance of a particular vocation like this is going to be one of prayer and prudence. Now, prayer, meaning calling upon God to grant you not only the words to say, but the proper opportunity in which to say them. And that's where prudence comes in mind. Sometimes we have to wait for the appropriate opportunity when things just seem right. And
right.
In this process, through your prayer and through your constant commitment to it, you always have to remember that you are doing this as an act of love for the other person. you are calling another person to conversion. And if you speak with him, it's in order to draw him to that reality rather than to score points on him.
Right.
So it may be a long haul. But yet it's one that may be accomplished. And remember that you, as you said, become an instrument of God's will, but it's in God's grace that it's going to happen, and the other person has to accept it. And God's going to keep pounding on his door, and you become a reminder that God does not want to give up. Okay?
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You.
Okay. Bishop. Well, God bless.
Thank you, Chris. God bless you too. Thanks for your call. Bishop, you've often also mentioned the opportunity we have to live a life that's attractive.
Right. Yeah, and St. Augustine said that whenever we preach the gospel, and whenever we even call sinners to repentance, we have to do it suaviter, he said, sweetly. And our example, by the very way that we live, becomes a proclamation of the gospel. We don't have to scream and shout, but we do have to demonstrate that our faith has really been the motive of our life and what we say. And I think it's important for us to remember. And just as St. Augustine was attracted by the power of the beauty of the liturgy, I think that sense of beauty is going to be essential in our evangelization in our present age, when people feel that sudden attraction to what is beautiful, what is powerful. And then once they are captured by the beauty of the reality, and this is not just prettiness or some kitschy thing, but a true, powerful beauty, including the cross. People then, knowing the beauty, want to achieve it. I remember an experience I had in high school, and I am not a very wide, mystical bent. And the Lord hasn't blessed me in that way, but I remember I was a junior, and we had a teacher who gave us a list of 30 titles. They were essays, poems, short stories, and whatnot, to read throughout the year, and we had to do a short report on each of them. And she told us in September, don't wait until April to start on this project. But there was a moment when I read three of the titles together, and it struck me for the first time that these are good. They were really beautiful. They stirred my mind and my heart. And I remember asking myself a question after that experience. What must I do to be worthy of the thing I have encountered? So that goodness follows beauty. And then in living out the thing that touched us in beauty, we come to understand more deeply its truth. So it can happen. Everyone can be touched by these. C.S. Lewis calls them being surprised by joy.
Yeah. So. Thank you. Ernie from Our Lady of Lourdes in Marysville has a question. Ernie, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Bishop, first and foremost, bless you in this wonderful program. You've answered a lot of questions for me over the last few months, and it's just been a beautiful thing just to be blessed by those answers.
Thank you.
My question is, I've returned to the church, and I find that I have a very strong calling to become a deacon or some other manner in which the church needs me to serve. And I've been praying, and I've been praying, and I want to make sure I'm doing it for the right reasons. I want to make sure it's because it's the voice of God telling me to do it, and not Ernie Jones telling me to do it. Mm-hmm. How can I tell the difference?
Well, you know, when there's a call to let's call it an ecclesiastically designed vocation. There are two parts of the vocation. One is the interior sense and experience of being called. And the second part is the church discerning the authenticity of that call. That's why if you experience a call, say, to the priesthood, it's going to be at least 6 years where that sense of vocation is going to be refined, and the church is going to be able to come to a decision about the authenticity of that call. And if it's a call to, say, religious life, or a particular call within our lay life, one of the best things to do is to seek counsel. The seeking counsel is one of the first qualities of a really wise person. And talk with someone who has a spiritual knowledge, spiritual depth about it. And that will help you clarify it. So these are the two things that I would suggest. If you do feel a call to the diaconate, I think it's important to talk with a member of the diaconate program, particularly the director, about this. But even a sense of call to the diaconate is going to require a 3-year period of preparation. But that's it's something that we need to seek authentication from outside of ourselves. And in that way, we can be more certain that the interior call we experience is a true one. Okay?
Wonderful. I appreciate the honesty in that answer.
Okay. Thank you very much for your question.
That approach is really the church inner prudence, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, I think we're fortunate. I don't know if all congregations or all denominations like the Catholic faith
right.
go to such lengths to help us discern where God's calling us.
Right.
So,
right. Okay.
Well, let's take a quick break to hear from some of our St. Gabriel Catholic Radio sponsors, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back to answer more of your questions about living the Catholic faith right here on From the Chair with Bishop Frederick Campbell.
Did you know that your body has a theology? My husband once took a photo of me gazing out towards a beautiful sunset. My eyes were full of wonder as I admired the strokes of pink, orange, and yellow painted in the sky. Can you believe that's just a glimpse of how our first parents, Adam and Eve, looked at one another? They were awestruck with beauty. Adam saw Eve as a person to love, not an object to use. Eve saw Adam as a gift to receive, not to take. Pope John Paul II called this the peace of the interior gaze, absolute trust. Because of original sin, we can't experience the same exact shock and awe, but we can rediscover the loving gaze that Christ has for us through the lens of the theology of the body. I'm Clarissa Chichioko for Creative Catholic Works. For more on the theology of the body, you can find us at creativecatholicworks.org.
I'm Lori Kroc, and this is a Holy and Healthy Minute. Our Catholic faith is a tangible sensory experience of both body and soul. In the Holy Mass, we smell the incense, we touch the holy water, we taste and see body and blood of Christ, and we hear and respond to the sound of beautiful music. Sacred Scripture also overflows with sensory illusion. From Matthew 11, "He who has ears ought to hear." Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." 2 Corinthians 2, "For we are the aroma of Christ." Matthew 8, "And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean." Psalm 34, "O taste and see the goodness of the Lord." Let us pray. Good and gracious God, give us a greater appreciation for our physical senses that heighten our piety and deepen our love for you. Amen.
Well, Welcome back to From the Chair with Bishop Frederick Campbell, where we entertain your questions about living the Catholic faith. You're welcome to call us now with your questions at 614-459-4820. Bishop, as we return to the show, I'd really like to welcome our listeners on FM 88.3, and that's the signal that St. Gabriel's Radio now puts out in Southern Ohio, a signal that goes all the way from Chillicothe to Ironton, includes the city of Portsmouth, among others. We're very happy to include the southernmost part of the diocese now in our listenership.
Well, and welcome to it. It's good to have you with us.
We are really proud to do that, Bishop. Our commitment to you early on was that we would try to reach every member of the diocesan community, and with this edition of 88.3 FM, we're now able to do that.
Well, very good.
So,
thank you.
Well, of course, not to disappoint our listeners, we do have this month, as always, some reflections from some of the fifth grade students in our Catholic schools. This week, we're going to hear from Mrs. Molly Galone's class at St. Agatha's Parish as they reflect on how they find out what life God is calling them to lead.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Emma. I think that to find out, I need to pray to God and ask Him. I believe that I need to do this at least twice a day, and that I need to make my prayers special and meaningful.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Nolan. I think you have to do what you feel is right. My teachers and my family always tell me how you must treat others how you would treat God. If you do that, I feel that you will know what God is calling you to do.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Josie. I believe that God calls us to use our gifts and talents. I like to try and be funny and make people laugh when they're sad. Seeing people smile makes me happy. That's how I know what life God is calling me to lead.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Gabe. I believe God sends signals and signs down from heaven. Those signs help us to a good job and a good life.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Ryan. I learn through my Christian faith and through my teachers and my parents. I listen to God when I pray and when I'm at church. I trust the people around me to show me how to lead a life that follows my Christian beliefs and values.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Sean. The way you find out is you look at your gifts and talents, then see how you could help others with those talents. After that, you have to look at the possibilities. You could find it then, but it might take more time, more prayer, and more reflection.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Hannah. How I would find out what God wants me to do is pray to Him, asking Him what I should do, and quiet my mind so I can hear Him.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Lily Kate. I'm not quite sure yet, actually, but when the Lord tells me, I will do it, for the Lord is my shepherd, and I am His sheep.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. My name is Emery. I think you can never be completely sure exactly what God has planned for you. But I believe if I keep praying and working hard, God will lead me to a good life.
Okay. I find the responses very enlightening and marvelous because each of them touched upon an aspect of how we come to discover our particular vocation. You may have noticed that a couple of the students refer to others who help them discern that vocation, family, friends, people around them. And I find that very refreshing because sometimes another person may know something about us we haven't discovered yet. Or the extraordinary sense of prayer. And prayer not only as saying words to God or asking of things, but prayer as also listening to God, as He wishes to speak to us. And sometimes we have to clear out other noises before God can get through to us clearly. I also loved the honesty of those two that said, well, I don't know yet. I haven't heard it yet, but I'm going to remain open to it. And it's that openness that will be filled by God's word eventually. So, students, continue the prayer, continue to listen carefully, and as one suggested, continue to look out for opportunities to express your Catholic faith and to do good for others. And God will speak, and He will call. And get ready, It's a wonderful adventure.
Well, it's not God calling, but we do have a call from Tom at St. Simon and Jude, Bishop.
It may be a good message, though.
Yeah. Tom, welcome to From the Chair.
Hello,
thank
Tom.
Thank you. Bishop Campbell, thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I was just wondering what your thoughts were on, I don't want this to sound silly, but someone praying too much. That's been an issue, for me at least, over the years. And talking with our priest and a friend of mine, a brother in Christ, not being a priest or a monk, you know, where is the fine line of how much prayer do you put into a day?
Okay. You know, you may be defining prayer too narrowly. This same question was asked of St. Francis de Sales, who is the patron of this diocese. And his answer, his general answer, was that you pray according to your state in life. That those who are married pray in a different way than those who are in a cloistered life. Those who have responsibility for civic affairs pray differently from those who may be Trappist monks or have responsibility for a portion of the flock of Christ. Prayer is necessary, but it has to be apportioned to according to our state of life. Secondly, prayer, in a more general sense, is constantly living in the presence of God. This does not mean ignoring our day-to-day responsibilities, but realizing that first we do need some time dedicated simply to the kind of prayer that is a very direct focus on God's life and upon our needs. But throughout the day, the very way in which we fulfill our responsibilities in the light of Christ is itself a prayer of praise to God's presence. That doesn't have to be made explicit or spoken out loud, but by the very way in which we fulfill our responsibilities, it is, in a way, offering prayer to God as well. But if, well, St. Francis said, how strange it would be if a mother and father, a husband and wife, try to live as monks and nuns live. That isn't what their vocation is. Or he said in a rather sharp way, if there is a monk or a nun who loves running around throughout the world and doing all sorts of domestic things, how silly is that? They're not tending to their state of life. So I think the first thing we want to understand is, what is our state of life? What is our particular vocation? And then we have to ask, how then do I shape my prayer around that life, which is both times true to God's presence and true to our responsibilities? And that, I think, will help us achieve a balance.
I see.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you. Okay. Campbell, thank you for saying yes, and congratulations on your new journey.
Well, yes, thank you. It's going to be, I think, exciting. This is the first time I've ever retired, so it's all new to me.
Well, we'll be praying for you.
Oh, Campbell. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Tom. Yeah. You can reach us again at 614-459-4820 here on From the Chair. Joel from St. Vincent's in Mount Vernon has called with a question.
Okay. Hello, Joel.
Hello, Bishop Campbell. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Thank you.
Excellent, excellent. I have a question about St. Agatha.
Yes.
Oh.
With all of the horrible and cruel and physical harm that she endured by her captors when she was placed in jail, how do you think she discerned her will of God while enduring all that?
Well, she had discerned the will of God before, in fact, her persecutors began that terrible attack on her. She, first of all, knew she was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and therefore belonged to God. And she also knew that she had to live out that membership in the body of Christ, in that membership in the community of disciples, by remaining unmarried, and by her virginity, directing the whole of her existence to the love of God and the service of neighbors. And this sustained her throughout her martyrdom, as well as a sense that as a Christian, she was baptized not only as an individual, but as a member of a community. And it was the whole body of Christ that was present to her. She was never alone. And in her own virginity, she exhibited and manifested that sense of our total dedication to the life of God. But as a member of the body of Christ, she realized she was sustained by the prayers of all. And it's a beautiful and powerful witness given to us. I don't know if you realize the name Agatha comes from the Greek, which means the good one. And by her very name, she seems to exhibit that loyalty to Christ and the goodness of God's strength and grace. So, okay?
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
God bless you and enjoy your retirement.
Okay.
Thanks, Joel.
I'll get back to you a God little bless. Later about that.
Okay.
Well, and I suppose Joel's quite... Go ahead. Thank you, Joel. I suppose Joel's question is particularly timely, isn't it? Today is the Feast of St. Agatha?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Perfect. Bishop Shannon from St. John Neumann Parish. Is that the right way to pronounce it?
That's the way I pronounce it, but I think they say John Newman.
Well, Shannon's here. She can tell us how she pronounces it. Welcome to the show, Shannon.
Hey, Shannon is a guy in this case, and we do pronounce it
Newman.
Me. So we're off all over the place.
Well, that's the Irish Shannon. Huh?
Yes, forgive me, Shannon. Don't tell my Irish grandmother that I blew that one.
That is fine. That is totally fine. Well, thank you, Bishop, for taking the call. And my question today is, as we pray, one of the things I struggle with, and I'd like some tips, advice on, is how to quiet my mind, quiet my heart, so that I know God's will for me. You know, I'm not expecting God to talk to me, but I want to know God's will for me and what I need to do. And I need to be quiet in order to hear that, and I have trouble with that.
Yeah. That kind of distraction, I think, is something that even afflicted the greatest of contemplatives. But I think it's something we can practice. It takes a little while, but I think it begins by simply dedicating particular parts of our day to sitting quietly, and to begin simply by allowing the rush of thoughts and distractions that are inevitably going to come our way to wash over us. And then we just sit. I think that one of the ways to begin prayer is through sacred scripture. You have it actually in front of you. You feel the weight of the book. You see the words on the page. And then you begin to read them. And then you're constantly saying to yourself, what do they mean? Which means you have to pay attention to the word on the page. And it's one of the marvelous things about sacred scripture that under the grace of God and with your attentiveness, sometimes those words jump right off the page at you. This happened to St. Anthony of the Desert, whom I had a special attraction to. In fact, I took his name at my confirmation. He had gone to Mass one Sunday morning, and he was asking, you know, what is God's will for me? And he heard the Gospel of Matthew, in which Jesus says to the rich young man, if you wish to enter the kingdom, give everything you have to the poor and then come and follow me. And St. Anthony said, that was Jesus Christ speaking right to me, even though it was read within the community of the church there in Alexandria. But, you know, it takes a little practice. And I would suggest that you just try it. Give yourself maybe 10 minutes and make it a regular time. Let the distractions wash over you. Pick up sacred scripture and read it verse by verse. And as you read it, you ask yourself, what does it mean? What do the words say? Secondly, what do the words say to me? And thirdly, what must I do? And you're going to find yourself a little more focused.
That's great advice. Okay. Thank you, Bishop.
Okay. God bless.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Thanks for the question, Shannon. We're going to go to a break now to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back with more from Bishop Campbell and from the chair.
The Immaculate Conception is a Catholic dogma that many Protestants have a hard time accepting. They claim it shouldn't be believed because it's not found in the Bible. But I beg to differ. Recall how after the fall in Genesis 3:15, God promised to set enmity between the woman and Satan, between the woman's seed, the Messiah, and Satan's seed. This separation from Satan means the woman's not tainted by sin in any way. Moreover, woman seems to be a title for Eve in her pre-fall state, as is the case in Genesis 2:23. She isn't called Eve until after the fall in Genesis 3:20. So who's this new woman? It's the mother of the Messiah, Mary. So just like the first woman was created without original sin, so too the new woman, Mary, was created without original sin. That's to say, immaculately conceived. I'm Carlo Broussard with the Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
60 Seconds with Mother Angelica.
Are you and I a friend of Jesus? That's the important one. See? He will never let you down. He will always be forgiving and merciful and compassionate. You can't say that of any friend. So, oh, I have a wonderful friend, and we've been friends for 40 years. Wonderful. I think that's a big grace. Scripture says, if you have found such a one, praise God. But ordinarily, you can't say that you would tell your very heart to this one or that one. To some, it would be like putting it in the newspaper. Be all over town, half hour. Well, you wouldn't talk to a friend like that. But with Jesus, you can talk to any friend. You can talk to him as the best of friends.
People you know and trust are on EWTN.
Welcome back to From the Chair with Bishop Frederick Campbell. I'm your host, David Martin. If you'd like to reach Bishop Campbell with your question, you can call us now at 614-459-4820. Bishop Debbie from St. Catherine's Parish has a question for you.
Hello.
Hi, Bishop Campbell, and thank you so much for your service to our diocese.
Well, thank you. Okay.
What my question is, what will you miss the most when you do step down as bishop?
Oh.
Well,
since you've been talking so much about retirement here on this show.
Well, yeah, it's just a new word, and I'm getting used to having my tongue pronounce it. But I'm often asked the question, what do I enjoy most about being bishop? And inevitably, especially when I'm with school children, is being among the people. And it takes a lot of travel in the Diocese of Columbus. We're the largest diocese geographically in Ohio, so I've been on the road quite a bit. I probably won't miss that very much, but I will miss actually being with the people in various parts of the diocese. Oh, I'll probably travel a little here and there. I just enjoy being with them, saying Mass with them, sharing the Word of God with them, and just being with them, sharing a meal. But I think that will continue. But, you know, it's just something that I've always loved. I've always been a part of pastoral life, and that's the heart of our mission, yeah. And it's the heart of my vocation.
Good.
Okay.
And we have appreciated that service.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I've got to ask, since Debbie raised it, do you enjoy your public speaking opportunities because you have a gift for public speaking and you were a professor and a teacher?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's according to what public I'm speaking in. sometimes it's a little bit of a challenge. Actually, you know, when I'm saying Mass, I'm with the people, I always want to make certain what I say is true, and in being true, also of great help to the people. Sometimes, if you're being interviewed by a newspaper reporter, you're in a different public.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, what I want to do is make certain that what I say won't come back to bite.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I want to be very careful. That is why when I preach, if I think I'm going to be quoted, I read from a text. If the what I need to say has to be very carefully shaped, I have notes that I follow because I want to make sure it follows in a proper way. If on occasion I am struck by a passage of sacred scripture or a particular theme, I consider and pray about it, and then I speak it. I had a marvelous set of teachers who taught me how to organize mentally, and they were the math teachers I had.
Uh-huh.
And mathematics is a marvelous study, especially geometry.
Huh.
Now, I'm hoping if there are any high school kids who are hearing me, just stay with it.
Yeah.
Geometry is a wonderful thing. In fact, Plato told his disciples, "No one shall enter my school who has not mastered geometry."
Wow. And it's got broad applications, doesn't
it? Oh, yes, very clearly.
As your example shows.
Right, yeah, so, well.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Oh, so Mary from St. Pius the 10th has called, and we'd love to hear what Mary has to ask you before the show wraps up. Mary, welcome to From the Chair.
Thank you, and thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
Sometimes, Bishop, once in a while in life, we are called to make difficult decisions
right.
that can dramatically impact not just our lives, but those of others.
Mm-hmm.
Can you comment on the value of maintaining a healthy prayer life and nurturing a closeness to relationship to God in our daily life and how it can benefit us in these situations?
Oh, yes. In fact, let me quote St. Francis de Sales again. You obviously know by now I'm pretty attached to him. But he said, never be afraid. Never be disturbed. He said, the same God who brought you through this day is the God who is going to be there tomorrow for you. And that sense of the presence of God is going to allow you, even in the most difficult situations, to do that which is pleasing to God and for the good of others, even though there will be a cost to it. But it's that sense that God is always with you. I mean, now look at mm-hmm. the decisions our Lord had to make, and God never abandoned him. So, I think if you keep that in mind, and, you know, you can learn from experience, too,
mm-hmm.
how you made it through other situations of the same nature and whatnot, and just ask God to refresh your memory, because then well, memory can be a very important thing. You know what they say is, if I allow it to happen, shame on me. If I allow it to happen twice, shame on you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
But thank you for your question.
Thank you so much, and good luck in your retirement.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
God bless you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Bishop, we've come to the end of yet another hour, but you promised you'll be back next month on
right.
March 5th.
on March 5th.
For another edition of From the Chair?
Yeah, well, I don't know from what piece of furniture it will be, but I will be here.
Very good. We look forward to our listeners joining us again. Meantime, we really want to thank the fifth grade students of St. Agatha's Parish with their wonderful questions, and Mrs. Galone for preparing them so well. And we thank you, our listeners, for always being with us, an important part of From the Chair, right here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Stay tuned now for 2 hours of Catholic Answers Live, right here on AM 820.